Matthew chapter 6. Let's jump right into it tonight. Matthew chapter 6. And I say I'm looking forward to this one. To me, this part of the Lord's Prayer is convicting. But it is extremely important. And I hope that this will be a help to you. Matthew chapter 6, and I've got some comments that I want to make, if I can, to open up this evening. Matthew chapter 6, and we look at verse 8 and following, and for sake of time, let's go ahead and look at verse 9. Matthew chapter 6, everybody got a piece of paper? If you didn't get a handout, raise your hand and we'll get one to you. I don't know if we've run out. Did we run out again? We ran out again. Hey, that's great. We got, Harold says, hold on. They might have a couple more there in the back. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Just kind of keep your hand up there for a second. I'll see it. Before I do that, I want everybody to be able to pay attention. See if they found any more. This is great though. We'll print up some more. Not right now, but we'll next week. We good? Oh, we got some. We got a couple. Some down here, I know, Harold. Just keep your hands up. This section, Harold, really needs help. They need this handout. Bless their heart. If anybody needs this message, this section does. Jim Fankhauser is in this section. If we run out, fellas, just make sure Jim Fankhauser gets one of those papers. Okay. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 9, if you will. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now, I want you to notice in English what we call pronouns. I'm not going to go through the tables again like I did Sunday night. I got a lot of comments about that, though, that they couldn't believe I remember that. And that comes from a good teacher of mom. And my mom was I was homeschooled. My mom was a one-on-one teacher. And she was tough, that's for sure. Notice, if you would, the pronouns used through here. And these, by way of introduction for tonight, our Father, which art in heaven. Notice, if you would, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's very important, and I mentioned this back when we first started the Lord's Prayer. It's very important that you understand that the Lord's Prayer is about family. This is a family prayer. God, and notice when it starts off, our what? Father. We are His children. We're all just family. Okay? And it's us talking to our Father. This is a family prayer. And you've got to understand and realize how important that is. There's no singular pronoun through the entire Lord's Prayer. This is how God says we're supposed to pray. It's never about me. And it's never about you. It's about us. It's about the entire family. And that's the way we ought to live, by the way. That's the whole Bible. The principles throughout God's Word teach us that, you know what, it's not ever about us. It's about others first. And so we've got to understand in the Lord's Prayer that this isn't just about us. And as before we deal with this, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's always going to be individuals that say, yeah, but so-and-so did such-such to me. And so-and-so did this. And what happened to me? Listen, it's not about us. It's about the Father. It's about the family. Okay, we got that. Notice, if you would, verse 12 that we'll be dealing with tonight. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let me just say this real quick. On the back of your handout was the outline that we did not have 2 weeks ago that we forgot that it just failed to get printed, but it's on the back so you can have that for review. And just during this Lord's Prayer, I've decided to put these handouts instead of using the screens. Forgive us our debts. Number one tonight, I want you to notice this. If you're like me, I got to lay things out in sections so I can understand it and grasp it. And since digging into the Lord's Prayer, obviously you know from the other, every phrase we've dealt with, that it has taught me volumes. But I want you to notice first, our debts. First, our debts. Second, we're going to see our confession. Third, we're going to see our consistency. And then fourth, we're going to see God's standard. and that's different from all the rest. Number one, our debts. He says this, forgive us our debts. Now, what are we dealing with here? There's two things I want you to see, and we've got this on your outline. The principle of sin and the practice of sin. Now you say, preacher, what is the difference? There are two uses of sin in Scripture. Anytime sin is talked about, it's either talking about the practice or the habit of sin or an individual sin. It's kind of like me saying, well, so-and-so, let me use Nick. He doesn't mind. It's like me saying, well, you know, Nick's a liar. Well, what I'm accusing him of is kind of the practice of sin. It's different when I say, Nick lied to me about such and such. That's specific. Y'all understand the difference? The use of sin here, this word, forgive us our debt, what it's talking about is singular in nature. In other words, it's not saying God, it's not saying we come to God and say, God, just forgive me of all my sins. It's saying that when we come to God, we need to be specific. And the Bible teaches that elsewhere. But I want you to understand, is, and God said, this is how I want you to pray, forgive us our debts. And that means this, God, I want to be specific, and you've got to understand that we can't just go to God generally and say, all right, Lord, you know, hey, let me see. It's been a couple years for 2011, 12, and 13. Lord, just forgive me for everything I've done. Well, I ask God to forgive me. Wait a minute, we're talking about family here. Now, if I sit down with my wife, Julie, and my three boys, and as they get older, and we have some issues in our family, listen to me. Now, just wrap your head around this and put yourself as if it was your family. We don't sit around and say, well, you know, we all just haven't gotten along. Some of us have made mistakes. Let's just, you know, everybody forgive everybody. That's not the way you deal with things in family. You sit down as a family and you talk about the specifics. In other words, I might sit down and say, Hudson, now you have been really mean to Daniel lately. You have done such and such, and you've done such and such, and you've done such and such. And it might be that as we sit down as a family, we might talk about certain things. Now listen, we've been arguing a lot as a family. You know, there have been times, Daniel, when you have said such and such to your mom or whatever. Do you understand the difference? When you sit down with your family, you deal with specifics. This is a family prayer. And so you and I have got to understand, God knows that we have sinned. If anybody knows, He knows. But God wants us to own up to it and come clean with it. And say, God, you're my Father. And Dad, Father, I've done wrong, and this is what I've done. And I want to acknowledge it, that I'm wrong. And I want to ask you to forgive me. Let me put it this way. And I thought, why is it called debts? Forgive us our debts. Why is it not just, you know, and of course in the Bible we have mirroring passages and sometimes called trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Amazingly, that word trespass and the word debts, as I looked it up, is basically the same word. Why is it called debt? Forgive us our debt. Do you know that when the Lord calls our sin a debt, He's reminding us that when we sin, we owe Him something? Y'all agree with that? When we sin, we owe Him something. You know what the Bible says? The wages of sin is what? So when you and I sin against God, we now have a debt. Now you say, well, preacher, why is this true? Well, let me explain it to you. When you and I sin, whenever we sin, it requires that we use our bodies or our minds or both. Does that make sense to you? When you or I sin, we either use our mind or our body or both. And the Bible says that when you and I got saved, we were bought with a price. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Listen to me, dear friend. He created you, He saved you, and when you put your faith and trust in Him, He owns you. And so when we use our mind or our body to go against His law, we have taken what is His and done wrong with it. So now we have a debt. That's why he calls our debts. Now, you'd say, well, preacher, I thought the Bible says, you know, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and different things. Write this verse down. If you have a pen and you're keeping notes, I just want you to write this down. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. For sake of time tonight, this verse teaches and makes it clear that both our body and our spirit belong to God. When the Lord redeemed us, he bought us completely. If you're saved, he owns your life. Therefore, when we use our bodies or our minds and commit sin, we are indebted to the Lord because it wasn't ours to do that with. It was his. Okay? Everybody got that? Now, we're going somewhere with all this. Let me say this. Our debts. Dear friend, when you got saved, God forgave you, and we will not have to answer for that sin when we get to heaven. We believe that that sin has been covered by the blood. Do you agree with that? Okay. So, my sin, what I do, my debts, is not going to change my relationship with the Father as far as sonship at all. What my sin will do is change my fellowship with the Father. Y'all got that? So when I now have a debt, I have got to somehow, look at me, pay that debt. But that debt's already been paid. When he died on the cross for your sins and you put your faith and trust in him, guess what? He paid a debt I did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. We've sung it over and over again. So listen, and now when you sin, that sin now, that's a debt to the Father. So how do we get that debt paid? That's when we go to God and ask forgiveness. His blood covered our debt. So we've got to go to that blood and say, Lord, I'm asking forgiveness. That debt's already been paid, but we've got to ask for the debt to be paid. We've got to ask for that forgiveness. We've got to clean that relationship. I'm going to be saved if I put my faith and trust in the Lord. I'm saved even if I sin. But when I sin, that's a debt I need to get paid because I want my fellowship with the Father to be right. So I ask God to forgive me, to clean me, because that debt's already been paid. Listen, if I sin, I don't have anything in me that can make me right with the Father. Only Jesus could make me right with the Father. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I know it seems a little bit like semantics. But dear friend, it's a debt. That's why God calls it that way. Forgive us our debts. Number two, I want you to notice our confession. Now that word forgive, notice how God says this is how I want you to pray. Forgive us our debts. Why would we ask forgiveness unless we're admitting that we did it? The very fact that we are asking God to forgive our debts is an admission of guilt. It means I'm confessing. Look at me. I'm not going to ask God to forgive me if I don't think I've done wrong. Right? So you know why a lot of times you and I really aren't asking God for forgiveness? We don't think we've been that bad. We don't think we've done that wrong. By saying forgive my debts, I'm admitting I've sinned against you. So there's got to be that confession. And listen to me, dear friend. Here's the getting God's forgiveness is the easy part. Getting Christians to go to God and ask forgiveness is the hard part. God could not have made it any easier. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins. Notice what 1 John 1:9 says. If we confess. So in order, listen, remember this is a family prayer. This is what God says. This is how I want you to pray. You need to ask me to forgive you your debts. Okay? We've got to come to the Father for that. Our confession. It means this. Number one, there's a need for forgiveness. Number two, it means there's an urgency to restore the fellowship. Why am I confessing sin? Have you ever thought about this? Why do you need to confess? Why? What would motivate you as a Christian to confess? The only thing that will motivate you to confess your sins is to make yourself more right with the Father. Have you ever thought about that? There's no other motivation for you to get forgiveness of your sins. I mean, I can sin and go on the rest of my life. Nobody, you know, there's some sins I could commit. I'm never going to be put in jail for them. Everybody else in the world commits those sins. So what motivates me as a Christian to ask God to forgive me of my sins? What motivates me to seek forgiveness? The motivation is I want to have a right, pure relationship with the Father. That's the motivation. Dear friend, you and I, our most important thing every day is to be clear and clean with the Father. If that's not our motivation, then we're not going to be seeking forgiveness. Because the only thing that makes us want forgiveness is to be clear and clean with the Father. Our debts, our confession. I hope that you understand that. Third, this is interesting, our consistency. Notice if you would, and you got to take a step back to be able to take a step forward. Look at Matthew chapter 6 if you would here. Look if you would at what we dealt with look at verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Remember, as we broke that phrase down for you, what he is saying is this: God, give me the bread that I need as I need it. Y'all remember that? So it's a constant process. God doesn't give you the bread you need for next month today. God gives you the bread you need today for today. He will give you the bread you need for next month. He'll give that to you next month. So you understand in verse 11 that he is describing a process, that it's consistent, it's constant. It's God, every day, you give me the bread that I need for that day. Then notice verse 12, and. So that connects verse 12 with verse 11. And forgive us our debts. So that means this, what we're saying in this Lord's Prayer, or the principle God's trying to get across to us is this: we ought to be seeking God's bread, what we need for that day. God, give me the bread I need as I need it. But also, and that same principle, we ought to be asking God to forgive our sins right after we commit them. It's a constant process. In other words, this: God, you give me my bread when I need it. And then we say, God, you give me forgiveness when I need it. That means this: we keep a short account of sin. Forgive us our debts and forgive us our debts. That means give me daily bread and I need daily forgiveness. Anybody else, anybody here not sin any given day? I mean, any of you just had like a really good week and never sinned the whole week? Please don't raise your hand. Look at me, folks, we're sinners. That's where you and I in our independent Baptist circles have gotten in trouble. We have been so busy preaching and pointing out everybody's sins and telling them how wrong they are, we forget we're sinners too. What he is saying is this: you're going to have to just get God's bread as you need it every day, and you're going to have to get God's forgiveness as you need it every day. It's a consistent process. Hey, I'm going to sin. I'm going to blow it. And I'm going to mess up. I don't want to. And I'm going to work hard not to. And I don't have to because God's freed me from the bondage of sin. But when I do, I've got to get forgiveness immediately. God, forgive me my debt. Forgive me. That forgive means I'm admitting it that I've done wrong and I want a right relationship with you. I have an urgency for that fellowship. God, I want that close fellowship. And because of that, I want to get this debt paid. I want to get this sin out of my life. Okay. Let me see if I can, for sake of time, so many things I want to say to this, but I want to make sure it's all in a nutshell that you can understand it. Let's just go last to God's standard. Our consistency and God's standard. There's a great misunderstanding here, and I want you to understand it. When we give this phrase, and I think I understood it wrong for a number of years, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The way I think understood it was this: God, you forgive me of my sins while I'm forgiving others of theirs. You forgive me of mine, that's your job. My job is to try to go ahead and forgive them of theirs. That's not what God's teaching here. What God is teaching here is that interesting, that word as. And you just read it, you don't really understand it, you got to dig into it. And I encourage any of you, get a good word study, get a good Bible dictionary, get you a good concordance. You dig into this, and here's what you'll find out that he is saying. He is saying, you, God, you forgive my debts to the same degree that I'm forgiving others of their debts to me. Now, I've got quite a few verses I'm going to give you here now, because I want you to get this, if you don't get anything else about this, okay, tonight. God said, this is how I want you to pray. And God wants you to put yourself on the spot. God, I want you to forgive me as good as I forgive others. God, I want you to forgive my debts to you to the same degree that I forgive others their debt to me. See, what God is not interested in is for you to say, God, forgive me, but you won't forgive others. Okay? Do you agree with me so far? Let me give you a couple verses. All right, you want to write these references down? You need to write these down. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This verse teaches you ought to forgive others because he's already forgiven you. Does that make sense? So this verse, our motivation ought to be this. How could I not forgive so-and-so for what they said to me or did to me or failed me, whatever the case? How could I not forgive them looking at all that God's forgiven me of? Wouldn't that be hypocritical? Yes, it would. Anybody else here have to admit I'm guilty of it? Okay, you super spiritual, godly people. This guy has had problems with that. Okay, let me give you another verse. This lesson is clear. If I expect the Lord to forgive me when I cry out to him, then I must be quick to forgive those who have wronged me. Now, listen. If I refuse to forgive my brethren, then I should not expect God to forgive me. Now, I know that's hard to hear, and I'm going to prove it scripturally, because I say, well, God's already forgiven. Oh, listen, we're not talking about forgiveness so that you can get to heaven. We're talking about forgiveness so that God can bless you. Remember what the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It didn't say if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not let me into heaven. So that means this, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but that doesn't mean I'm getting blessed. Just because I'm saved doesn't mean I'm going to have power. Just because I'm saved doesn't mean that God's just going to use me to do great things. Now listen, you and I have got to live right. We've got to have a right relationship with him. Now listen to me. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. It's in the chapter we just read about the Lord's Prayer. Notice verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Uh-oh. Now you say, all right, Scripture is contradicting itself. It just said if I don't forgive somebody else, God's not going to forgive me. And what I've always been taught is when I got saved, God forgave me of my sins. Look at me. God forgave you of the consequence of your sins. Your sins, because you and I are sinners, we cannot approach God. God's a holy God. He cannot look on sin. That's why he had to turn his head when his son died on the cross, because Jesus took all the sin, and God's too holy to look on sin. We had no way to get to the Father. But when we were forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, it means now we can have access to the Father. So we were forgiven the penalty of our sins. Okay, but you want God to answer your prayers, and you want God to bless, you're going to have to forgive others. Because, look at me, God will forgive you as much as you forgive others. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, write this down. I'll read it to you. This verse teaches that when you've wronged someone and you know it, you're to go to them confessing your wrong and seeking their forgiveness. Listen, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, talking about basically church, or you say, I'm going to go, or just not necessarily church, I'm going to give a gift to God. If you bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Look at me. Some people never grow in the Lord. Some people are in the Lord. They're in Christ as a new believer, but they never grow in Christ. That's why the Bible says that ye may grow thereby. And you know oftentimes why? Because if they cannot forgive, they cannot grow. Now, can I make it just real black and white, simple and clear? Somebody has absolutely rocked your world, done you wrong. The best thing you can do for yourself is right here, right now, forgive them. Because when you walk out of this building, you want God to be able to bless you. You want God's power and presence to be on you. Life isn't worth living without that. And dear friend, I don't care how wrong they did and what they did. Listen to me. God will take care of that. They now have debts to Him. What's interesting about this whole thing, listen to me. God's word is so great, isn't it? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Look at me, dear friend. Please, 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 you have to forgive them because the Bible says they are your debtor. You've got to do it. You've got to forgive them. Now, I'm a pastor and I do quite a bit of counseling. I've sat in my office, I've been on the phone, I've heard things and been told things that I don't know if I could forgive. I'm just being blunt, honest, and down-to-earth real with you. But I do know this. If you stop and think about it, God has forgiven you of more than anybody's done to you. God forgave you more. This is what God said. If you want to have power in prayer, remember, why is the Lord's Prayer even here? Because the disciples said, Lord, we don't have the power that you do. Do you remember the whole story? We're not seeing the miracles that you are, Lord. And we're not experiencing the power and the victory that you are, Lord. Teach us to pray. And God said, all right, if you want to have that kind of power, here's how you're going to have to do it. Part of it is, forgive us, Father, our debts, as or just like we forgive our debtors. May I ask you tonight, is your forgiveness up to date? I'm not, listen to me, y'all might remember a while back, sorry, it feels a little hot, I'm trying to lower that mic, hot mic. Some of you remember a long time ago I preached on the fact of that verse in the Bible where it says, lest any root of bitterness springing up thereby defile you. Y'all remember that? And I said this, the Bible doesn't say that you have to forget them. It just says you have to forgive them. Notice here, it doesn't say, for God forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. You will never forget what some people do to you. You'll never forget it. It'll be on your mind almost every day of your life. God's not asking. It's impossible. But he's saying this, if that root of bitterness, it doesn't say if it springs up. It said, lest any root of bitterness springing up, thereby defile you. That means this, it's going to spring up. The Bible didn't say if it springs up. The Bible says that root of bitterness is going to spring up. and it might spring up every day. It might spring up every hour of every day. It might spring up 10 minutes, every 10 minutes, every 5 minutes, and it might just absolutely drive you nuts, and you struggle with that bitterness towards that individual. But God says when it does spring up, deal with it. Get victory. God can give it to you. He can. Dear friend, listen to me. Our church depends on it. But even if you're not going to do it for our church, look at me. Your family depends on it. You want God to bless your family, and you want God to bless your kids, and you want God to bless you. Whatever they did, it's not worth losing that in your life. God, forgive us our debts as we forgive those. Basically, we find later in the Bible, as he puts it this way, who trespass against us. Lord, we love you. Lord, I've never found one verse in the Bible that said it's easy. But I have found a bunch in the Bible that said you're able. Lord, I pray you'd help our people as we head towards Revival Week. God, you would help them to forgive. Lord, it seems so unfair almost if we look at things. We can almost think that people do us wrong and then we have the responsibility. Now God expects more of us than he does of the ones who've done us wrong. But Lord, if we'd look at it the right way, we would realize that the blessings you're getting ready to give us, that's why the responsibility is on us. Lord, if there's individuals here, Lord, that have things that have just been absolutely difficult to forgive, to let go, Lord, I pray that you'd give them the grace sitting right here in their seats right now. Lord, help them to forgive. Lord, that doesn't mean that anybody's getting by with anything. You'll take care of that. Doesn't mean that anybody has just gotten away with anything. You'll make sure it all ends up fair. Lord, it doesn't mean somebody's gotten the best end of us and we just... Lord, doesn't mean that at all. You'll deal with them. Lord, I pray you'd help free our people of what unforgiveness can do to them. And Lord, if nothing else, if for no other reason, Lord, I want to forgive because I don't want you not to be able to forgive me. God, I've got to have your forgiveness because I make mistakes and sin every day. So Lord, help us forgive.